He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the Thursday, May 12th edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse ETFs Now, Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. We'll be talking to him in a bit about today's PPI report. In the meantime, the market not looking too good again today. You know, those support levels did not hold, those technical support levels. And I got to believe that that inflation report on Wednesday had a big impact, is having a big impact on the market. In fact, the market went down the almost the second those numbers came out on Wednesday. And I think fear of a recession has increased greatly this week. Right now, the Dow is down 225. It did not hold that support level of 32,000. It's now at 31,608. The S&P did not hold its support level of 4,000. It's down another 34 today. It's at 3,900. Inverse funds, however, on the Dow, like DOG and DXD, having a good day. Inverse funds on the S&P 500, like SH, SDS, having a good day, etc. NASDAQ down 109. It could not hold 12,000. It is at 11,255. I haven't said that for a while. The Russell 2000 down 4 points today to 1714. Crude oil hanging in there. It's at 105.35, but down 36 cents on the day. I think demand destruction could be the issue with crude oil at some point in time. Gold is down $15 to 1838. The 10-year, believe it or not, you got a huge rally in the bond market today. Why? A flight to safety, driving interest rates down to 2.86%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I don't know if they talk about inverse funds on the other shows. Barry, you know, I watch the financial channels all day. I flip back and forth or have a couple of them on at the same time. I never hear them talking about inverse funds. Is it off limits to talk about inverse funds on these financial channels?
You know, I think it kind of ties into, you know, certain entertainment value, right, of you know, of news and financial news in general. It seems nowadays where, you know, it's always more exciting to buy something, right, than to sell something, certainly from an investor psychology standpoint. So
I suppose
maybe they think buying an inverse ETF is like selling. I mean, I don't, you know, that's the only thing. I mean, to me, it's a risk management tool. And
yes,
it seems like it would be a great piece to talk about.
I have heard SARC come up a little bit here. Now, listen to these numbers, okay? I updated these numbers here this morning, and listen to the gradation of the severity of the sell-off as we go down the line from the lowest risk indexes to the highest risk indexes. Okay, we begin with the Dow. As of yesterday, from its high, the Dow is now down 13.5%. And the high was pretty much about the beginning of the year. Okay, so the Dow, of all the indexes, has the lowest P.E. ratio. Now we step it up to the S&P 500, where you have a lot more exposure to the tech stocks and the higher P.E. stocks. It's down 18.3% from its high. And, of course, when it goes into 20%, it's officially in bear territory, and we may have that by the end of today. We'll see. The market's all over the place here this morning. But the S&P's down 18.3 now. Okay. Now we step it up a notch, a couple notches to the NASDAQ, where you have the high PE, the high, it's the highest PE index by far. The NASDAQ is down 29.2% from its high. Okay. Now let's move within the NASDAQ to, poor Kathy Wood's ARK fund. It's now down 71% from its high. So you can see, Barry, I mean, you could draw the equation, you could draw the graph. As PE goes higher, the smashing of these stocks is worse. And that's just the way it is. And you could do the same thing on the bond market. The longer the duration the bond is, the more it's gone down. So, you know, I think we, if people heeded what we said, I mean, they haven't made money, obviously. But if the NASDAQ's down 29.2% and ARK is down 71%, and you're down 7 or 8%, for instance, I'm just throwing that number out. You know what? That's as good as making money. It really is, because that carnage on the downside, a lot of this, it's not going to come back. It's just not going to come back.
Yeah, and you don't have to, your portfolio doesn't have to work as hard to get back to even. It's funny you mentioned those three numbers. I had those three numbers written at the top of my page.
Yeah, you were thinking about it too.
Yeah, just, you know, trying to put things in perspective. And then, you know, of course, I saw a note where I think Kathy was buying more Coinbase today.
Lord have mercy.
And I mean, you know, we don't even need to get into the crypto carnage, because it's been covered on every financial channel that you can see at the moment. But some wild stuff going on in the crypto market.
I think that crashing of the one that's pegged to the dollar.
Yeah, the stable coin.
I think it lost all its value.
I mean, just picture if, you know, picture a money market, right, breaking the buck in 08-09, right? And then, of course, you get the Fed to come in and help and kind of save us from financial, you know, disaster. Well, there's not really anything to come in and save, save the crypto market from financial disaster. And so, you know, seeing one of those coins, it only takes one of those stable coins, right, to break a buck, and then everyone's looking at all the other stable coins like, well, is this one going to break a buck?
And they panicked and headed for the exits. And, you know, we also warned about the cryptocurrencies, too. Well, let's take a look at what the valuation is at now. I also updated that this morning. The forward PE of the S&P 500 is now 17.1. So I would call that average, okay? The average over the years has been 16 to 18. So you go right in the middle of that, we're at 17. So the market has priced in a lot of rate hikes coming in the coming Fed meetings, a lot more than just the 20. We've had a 25 basis point rate hike so far and a 50 point. And the market has gotten way out in front, forward-looking. Has dropped the forward PE from 23 clear down to 17. And the earnings for this year and next year have not dropped. But the market, I think, is starting to factor in this inflation factor. And, you know, what impact it's going to have on the earnings of the S&P 500 companies going forward. And I noticed here at the tail end of this earnings season, especially this week, when a lot of second and third tier stocks were reporting, the Beyond Meats of the world, okay, it's not exactly a Kroger or Tyson, but it's a well-known stock. They are just getting crushed as they miss their earnings estimates by wide margins, okay? Now, those aren't S&P 500 companies. But that doesn't bode well, I don't think, for the rest of the S&P 500.
Yeah, in the $20 range, I think, now.
Yeah, I mean, just crushed. Beyond Meat, BYND, is down today. Let's see. Where is that? Well, now it's only down 1%.
Huh? Yeah. And it's at 25.5, but I mean, the 52-week high, by the way, is 160. So,
Again, its all-time high is 239. Okay, right. 239 down to 25. It was way down in the pre-market, but I guess somebody came in to rescue this poor stock. Anyways, the disappointing now, you know, the markets are ready to go positive here, so fasten your seatbelts. This could be a wild day. The Dow finished lower again yesterday, and the NASDAQ yesterday was down another 373 as it got crushed. It's now down 29.2% from its high, and I couldn't even believe it. I looked at ARK. It's been down 10% every day this week almost. It was down another 10%, 10% yesterday, and it's now down 71% from its all-time high. Well, there are some bright spots out there in the market. Of course, the inverse funds have been doing well here recently. We've got a lot to talk about here today. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, you have to, as you look, point the finger of blame at this hot inflation. You have to point a finger at the Fed. The Fed, you know, you had this recovering economy, and they continued to keep rates at zero. And, of course, the Congress kept flooding the market with all of these incentives and, ways to get through the COVID, et cetera. You had all that money sloshing around, and a lot of bubbles were built. And I think now you're starting to see a lot of the bubbles one by one burst. There was a huge bubble, obviously, back in 2020. In the work-from-home stocks and the innovation stocks, that was the biggest bubble of all. And now you've seen a 70% unwinding, bursting of that bubble, and I don't think it's done yet. There was a massive bubble in the bond market where you had falling rates for 40 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, the rates start to turn the corner and start to head back up again, and you've seen a big quite a bit, about 10% probably, 10 to 12% come out of the bond market. And then you got to mention the crypto market, Mary, in that same breath there with the others. That was probably, you know, that bubble has really nothing underneath it at all to support it. Last time I looked, the crypto was under 29,000, but it was over 66,000, wasn't it, at one time?
Yeah, and high was 60. I think the high was 69 for 69,000 for Bitcoin at one point. So,
and I remember the CEO of MicroStrategy, Michael Saylor, saying, "Hey, you should take money out of your house, equity out of your home, and buy Bitcoin." And that was about when it was 69,000 or so. And of course, he continues to buy it for his company. I can see the lawsuits now because he's a tech company, but he's chose to keep a big stash of Bitcoin on their balance sheet, which is hurting them mightily right now. So you're seeing a lot of these bubbles all of a sudden burst. Now yesterday, okay, I saw Apple break its support level for the first time in a long, long time. Probably back, you got to go back to the pandemic, the really ugly days of the pandemic. And then I looked at Microsoft, and it too was breaking its support levels. I'm talking, okay, first you hit your 50-day support level, and then you hit your 200-day support level. Then you start looking for previous lows where the buyers have come into the stock in the past. And I saw all three of those disappear and get violated here over the last several weeks.
It makes sense, right? Because you've got, take QQQ, for example. If you're selling an ETF, you're selling SPY, right? Apple makes up, at any given time, roughly 6 to, say, 8% of that index. So you're selling SPY. Well, 8% of that sale, right, is a is an Apple sale. Right?
Yep, they've got to get rid of the individual stocks. And you the same thing when someone sells ARC, their ARC funds. Got to unload Teladoc. And, you know, Tesla's breaking support.
The EV market. Talk about, I was looking at, you warned folks on Rivian. Rivian's down, all these numbers kind of were thrown at me when I was looking at them earlier today. Rivian's down 80% since the IPO.
Yeah, and Lordstown Motors, I was looking at it today. They're the ones that bought the GM plant there in Lordstown to build the electric trucks. You know, you got to get product out the door at some point in time. And, in the meantime, Tesla continues to crank cars out the door. And we're not seeing anything coming from the other automakers hardly at all, especially the new players, the Fiskars and the Lucids and all of those, Rivian, Nikola. They're just not producing anything right now. And you would think, with oil prices as high as they are, that they would have a really attractive alternative right now, but they don't have a product out there to even sell. They're long-duration stocks. All right, so now I want your comments on the PPI, the Producer Price Index. Does this bode well for the future? What happened there today?
Yeah, and interesting, I think maybe because it came in at, as expected, maybe the reason why it hasn't gotten as much coverage this morning, but, final demand, producer price increased 0.5%, which was kind of what they expected in line. Now, kind of a positive note when you look at, kind of where it was previously, right? I mean, you've got, I think the month before it was around, 1.6% in March, 1.1% in February. So the month-over-month, difference is lower. So, that part's moving in the right direction. Some of the pieces that kind of stood out to me was in terms of transportation or freight cost. They actually rose 4.4% in April, which is what we've been talking about, right, in terms of diesel fuel, getting goods to places, right? Those, a lot of those costs are usually passed on to consumers in the form of a surcharge, right? That part was, a little unnerving. And the other interesting thing is I think a carton of eggs is up, I want to say it's 25 to 33%, year over year, most of that is due to the bird flu here in the U.S. that we were talking about.
Yeah, so, I'm looking at getting some chickens here.
That was an interesting piece. But overall, at least directionally, right? It looked good on the month to month basis. Still going up when you look at it over on a year over year.
Yeah, it's 11.7%.
Right,
year over year, and I was thinking when you said that transportation and freight. Our COO went to mail a phone, ship just a phone. Okay, we still use some of the old style phones with our network to a new hire. $85 to ship that phone. She could have just went and bought a new phone. It would have been cheaper probably, but shipping and the freight has really gone up. Okay, then the last thing here. So far the theme that we've indicated would be dominant. The themes that we indicated would be dominant this year: inflation, rising interest rates, shortages, and the last one, geopolitics around the world. Now Finland is going to apply very quickly. They want to become a member of NATO without delay, and I think that probably Sweden is next. So there's no shortage of geopolitics and the hotspots around the world. I know Sri Lanka is having big issues. Pakistan is having big issues. It's almost everywhere we look. You had a Palestinian reporter for Al Jazeera killed in crossfire. We don't know whose bullet killed her. That happened yesterday, and there's a big turmoil in Israel and Palestine today. Just all kinds of trouble all over the world, seemingly in commotion. All right, well, when we come back, there is some pretty bright spots here, okay? We'll go through some of those, and we got to talk about Disney. Disney reported they're a member of the Dow. No wonder the Dow is down today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the word of the week is inflation, without question. And inflation, I think, could lead. We know there will be a recession eventually, but it definitely could speed up the process of going into a recession. There seems to be nothing to stop that right now. But, you know, and I think that's why the market is so jittery. Here's what we've got right now. The Dow is down 160. The NASDAQ came storming back, went positive by about 51 points, and now the NASDAQ is down or about flat right now. It's down 15. It's just all over the place. Well, it's down 5 right now. It's all over the place.
And interest rates down big today, and on the 10-year, I think we're down to 289 the last time I looked.
Yeah, that is definitely not because they think interest rates are going down and the Fed has done hiking. That's a flight to safety.
Right.
And you've got crude oil is now up $1.07 to 106.78. That's a big piece of that inflation problem. And the 10-year is now down to 2.86. It got up to 3.13. So it's come down 27 basis points from its high. I think it hit that earlier this week during that inflation report. Okay, so now we got to look at Disney real quickly because it is a big member of the Dow. Disney's got a horrible chart, just horrible, just sliding down, down, down. Disney was 203 last year. Do you know that it's lost half its value? It's at 103, almost half its value over the last 15, 16 months. Of course, COVID didn't help them at all with their theme parks. Okay, that was one big problem. And then they've had some issues, some publicity issues. And then you've got the streaming. Netflix streaming it has slowed way down. They're losing subscribers, and Disney's remained okay, but I think there's a lot of worry there going forward, whether you know, they've maxed out with that, with those streaming subscribers. And Disney came in, reported earnings of $1.08. They missed by 11 cents. That's a pretty big miss. And they reported revenue of $19.2 billion, and that missed by $800 million. So Disney has climbed back a little bit, but it's still down 1.4%. And you might say, well, what about Disney? Is it a buy here? Well, okay, I'm just going to look at two numbers real quickly, just for a kind of a first blush kind of analysis here. Relative strength is 23. It's one of the weakest stocks in the market. 77% of the stocks are outperforming Disney. And then you might say, well, okay, then I'll bet it's cheap. Well, the P.E. ratio is 32 on Disney. That's not exactly cheap.
Yeah, and the forward P.E. is almost 24, so it's still not, you know, it's still not cheap even on a forward P.E. basis. So.
Yeah, no, talk to me when it's down around 85, 80 maybe. That's probably where it's headed. I don't know. 103.64 is where the stock is right now. The dividend yield, they don't have a dividend yield. So just not a very good holding at all. We don't have one share of Disney here at our firm. Okay, now, Elon Musk, he draws SEC probe. You know, he bought 5% and kept buying. He was supposed to report it once he crossed 5%. So they're going to go after him for that, it looks like. I figured that they would. Let's just check in on Tesla. I just checked Apple. Tesla today, you know, it's hanging on just barely by its fingernails here. It's at 734. It's down $500 per share, which is about a 40% correction in it since late October of last year. And that's still not a very good chart. It's still in a number four downtrend.
And down Tesla, 38% year to date, which is, you know, which is actually after, right? Remember when Elon sold a handful of shares,
yeah,
you know, at the end of the year last year, which helped, you know, keep it down. But even after that, right, we're still, you know, still down roughly 38% or a little bit more year to date, which is.
And you say, well, I'll bet it's a bargain here now. Well, you know, it's trading at 81, P.E. ratio of 81, and its forward P.E. is about 45. And its relative strength is clear down to 65. So am I going to step up to the plate here? And we don't own any Tesla either here at our firm at the current time. At some point, maybe, but not yet. It still looks expensive to me.
Well, I'm looking at another one that you sidestepped for the clients and listeners is Robinhood. I was looking at Robinhood down from its closing high, and it actually intra market it'd be even down even more. But Hood is down 88% from its closing high, which I think is about the second or third day that it was trading.
Stealing from the rich. And are stealing from the poor and giving to the rich, okay?
Yeah,
the guys who brought it public, you know, the Goldman Sachs and the investment bankers and the CEOs and the chairman of the board and all this and that, they made out, you know, when they sold their private shares, when it went public and shot up to $85 per share on day one, they got richer. And then all these little guys that use Robinhood, you know, we know that Robinhood went after a different demographic, and I said that's not going to be a profitable deal. Robinhood's gone from $85 to $8.45, and I'm sure the rich got rid of their shares a long time ago. There's no way they wrote it down. They had a, you know, that's what you want. If you buy into a private company, you're looking for an exit strategy. You either got to sell your shares to someone else who wants to invest in a private company, which that's not a lot of liquidity. But once it goes public, it's fair game. And I bet a lot of those insiders dumped their stock, you know, at a lot higher prices than where it is today. Okay, Aramco is now the world's most valuable company. That's the Saudi Arabia oil company. It passed Apple yesterday, and I was just looking at Apple. It's actually bouncing a little bit here. Somebody's coming in and doing some buying. I think 140, where it's at now, it's at 144. It got down to 140. That seems to be where there's support for Apple. But having said that, Apple is below its 50-day moving average. Apple is below its 200-day moving average. And it's closing in on what we call a death cross, where the 50-day crosses below the 200-day. So that's not a good chart at all. If Apple falls, what's left? I mean, you know, Microsoft. Let's check Microsoft very quickly.
Well,
I noticed yesterday.
It still has a 24 forward PE for Apple, which is historically actually still a bit high. I mean, for a long time they were, you know, trading around 16 for an extended period of time when they had all that cash on their balance sheet.
And Apple, you know, is having issues with China.
Mm-hmm.
As the you know, they've doubled down on the lockdowns over there in Shanghai. It's just crazy. I mean, this is week number six, 25 million people. Microsoft, it broke support yesterday. It's finding support at 250. It had a death cross about 2 months ago where the 50-day went below the 200-day. So, you know, look, it's gone from the ARK, the innovation stocks, then it started spreading, you know, to to the next tier of stocks, and now it's spreading to the Apples, the Microsofts of the world. Okay, well, let's take a look here. Apple supplier warns revenue could slow due to inflation and slowing demand. And, of course, they have the supply chain issue still. And then you look, here's another thing that has gone on. It started with the micro-cap stocks, and then it spread to the small-cap stocks. Then it started spreading to the mid-cap stocks. Now the mega-caps have had the worst start to the year, that's 100 billion or more, since 2008. You remember the days when you just bought the FANG stocks and you didn't even have to worry? They went up every day, seemingly, the big mega cap stocks. Well, now it's chipping away at the mega caps. I've watched that inverse ETF FANGed, FNGD. It's breaking out while the others break down. Okay, there's a few things jumping off the page when we come back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. There's some weird action taking place in the market. As I look at the biggest percent gainers, there's obviously some speculation coming in too, some money coming into the speculative stocks that have just been hammered here over the last year or so. Check this out. Right now, Shopify is up 8.6%. So somebody is putting some money into Shopify. I would think that the short covering would be done by now in Shopify. I'm not buying Shopify. Shopify has gone from $1,062 clear down to $350. Okay, I don't know what the math is like on that.
That's a lot.
That's 60, 70, that's 75%. But somebody's in there buying it today. I have a hunch that I know who it is.
Look at Rivian and Roblox. Both of those are two others that are...
Roblox is up 19% today. This is the kind of action I saw back in 2022, but these charts, or 2020, these charts were hitting new highs at the time, not new lows. So somebody is in there buying stocks that have just been pummeled. Roblox has gone from 141 to 29, and it is up 19% right now. The other one that stands out, man, I could never see Carvana. It was 376 at one time. 376. They sell used cars. They deliver them to your door. You buy used cars online. It's $41 now, from 346 down to 41. It's up 37% today on 8 times normal volume. I got to believe that the ARK funds are in there doing a little bit of bottom fishing here. I also noticed Lucid Motors, LCID. This is one of the things I look at, stocks that are up on volume. Lucid's up 13.4% today. So these are all innovation names, very long-term, long-duration stocks, and a few others that have just been clobbered. Zillow, with interest rates going up and very little inventory out there, Zillow's up 6.7% today, and its competitor Redfin, RDFN, is up 19% today. So there's a little bit of Etsy's another one. It's up 11%. So somebody is kind of doubling down here on a lot of these stocks that have just been pummeled and doing some buying. On the inverse side of things, EDZ still looks good to me. We own EDZ in our emerging growth portfolio. That is inverse the emerging markets, which are really being rattled by what's going on in China. China is a big part of the emerging markets. And so we have picked on the emerging markets, and we own the ETF EDZ.
And higher interest rates in the U.S. are tend to be bad news for emerging markets because, number one, our currency goes up, so it costs them more to pay their interest and principal. And then also they're usually dollar-denominated debt, so their interest rates are highly tied to our interest rates as well. So that's another headwind for emerging markets.
Yep, not good at all. And, you know, if America were to head into a recession, you know, as America goes so goes the rest of the world. They really depend upon the U.S. economy. And I have heard the word of global. In fact, it was Kathy Wood earlier this week says we may be going into a global recession. She was also the one that said we don't have an inflation problem. We have a deflation problem. So I don't know about the credibility there. Yeah. Maybe that means we're not going into a global recession. But the market sure seems to think, I think the word of the week is besides inflation is recession. And be interesting. Check out the it's got to be narrowing today. What does the yield curve look like today with the long end?
Well,
coming,
it's flattening. Yeah, which is a problem, right? I mean, because one of the banks, right, are one of those places that we look at, right, in terms of potentially going, that benefit from rising rates, but in reality, they benefit from a wider spread between short-term rate and the long-term rate. Well, we've got essentially short-term rates going up, and at least today, long-term rates right coming down. So, less net interest margin, which for your banks and lenders, right, not attractive.
No, and I've been watching the bank inverse ETFs. There's several of them, and the financial inverse FAZ. Has a relative strength of 98. That is inverse the financial sector. That's not a good sign either, because they were supposed to benefit from rising interest rates. But it's like you say, if we're going to recession and the yield curve is flattening, they're not going to benefit. They're going to be hurt. So anyways, that's where we're at on this Thursday. I'll be working on the newsletter here today. I did make some changes this week. There was several that I just had to make on technical analysis and different things changing. I do think that report on Wednesday has a lot of impact on the market, and not in a good way. So I'll be looking at the earnings estimates again this week. I got to believe that those earnings estimates are going to start to be shaved down a little bit lower as they start to factor in higher rates, inflation, and at the same time, demand destruction. At some point, it just gets so expensive, the consumer starts backing off. So that's kind of where we're at right now. You can sign up for the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. I had a guy write to me today. He said, my decision right now is to go with active management or stick with the passive management. And I get the idea that he's getting crushed with the passive management. And also, if you'd like to talk to us, we've talked to a lot of people this past week. A lot of them are in passive types of programs. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Best. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm.
All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.